It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Trey Schaap. A golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. By Beechwood Hospitality, we partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Ortho Now is now open at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. If you have an orthopedic injury, sports, work, or anything else, walk in and see the best in orthopedic care. No appointment is needed. Ortho Now, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 8 and Saturday, 8 to noon. Conveniently located at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. For more information, call 501-686-8674. Coming up on this edition of From the Shortgrass, I introduce you to Mark Stockdale, a junior on the Little Rock men's golf team. He shot a 66 that is still his lowest career round at the Everett Buick GMC Classic. Also, his low tournament score over 54 holes was 204 when he won that Everett Buick GMC Classic in 2023. That was when he was a freshman at the University of Central Arkansas. He was also the 2024 Atlantic Sun Freshman of the Year. He then transferred to Arkansas, played in 9 events, 6 in the lineup, and 3 as an individual, had a 73.58 scoring average with 3 top 20 finishes. And we talk about the move from UCA to Fayetteville to Little Rock in this upcoming episode. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss it.
I'm Dr. Lowry Barnes. When it comes to orthopedic care, there's no place like the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. We built this hospital just for you. With state-of-the-art surgical suites, advanced technology, and the state's largest group of fellowship-trained orthopedic surgeons, it's the best place in Arkansas to get you moving again. And if you need urgent orthopedic care, UAMS Ortho Now is right here for you at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health, where motion lives and service leads.
The future is not about a bond reaching maturity. The future is what my grandfather worked for. It's what my father carried on. It's my responsibility today. The future is my son's tomorrow. At the Stevens Private Client Group, we believe that our strength builds success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
The next time you travel to El Dorado and need overnight accommodations, the Haywood Hotel is where you need to stay. The Haywood El Dorado Tapestry Collection by Hilton is a great place to stay if you're in South Arkansas, listening to live music, or playing the challenging Mystic Creek Golf Club. Take time and relax in their bar for a drink before going out on the town for dinner. The Haywood, 210 South Washington, right in the heart of downtown El Dorado. Search the Haywood El Dorado on the web or call 800-293-0718 for reservations. The Haywood, a Beechwood hospitality property.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Mark Stockdale, a junior on the Little Rock men's golf team, comes from Northamptonshire, England. He is a son of the late Olympic show jumper Tim Stockdale. His brother Joe, also an Olympic show jumper and was a traveling member of Team Great Britain at the 2024 Games in Paris. Mark has decided to excel at the game of golf, and he does it very well. On the tee, Mark Stockdale.
Mark, thanks for joining me on this edition of From the Shortgrass. So, do you remember the first time you ever picked up a golf club and fell in love with the game?
Yeah, I can actually. So, what happened is my dad, he came back one day and essentially bought himself a set of clubs and was going to get back into playing golf. My brother had lessons when he was younger, and I was about 12 at the time, and basically wanted to learn to go play with him. So there was a little club after school on a Wednesday night. I went and took my mum's old set of 1979 Slazenger blades and went there and did one session and fell in love with it and then started having lessons ever since.
Did you feel like if you wouldn't have gone, you might have been missing out?
Yeah, definitely. Like, my dad traveled a lot, so anytime he was back home, I wanted to spend time with him. And the fact that my brother had lessons when he was younger and he already knew how to play, I just sort of wanted to go join them and spend some time with them, really.
When you say back home is England.
England, yes.
Northamptonshire.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
is that in relation to London? I think everybody looks at London and knows where London is on a map, but
pretty
where
much,
is that?
Yeah. So it's essentially an hour just straight north of London. It's the right, like most middle part of England as could be. So I sort of say to people that if you're ever driving past, you see a sign, just keep on driving.
Yeah. So you didn't get to play much on the coast then, like a lot of others. I mean, everybody thinks of golf in England and Scotland as mm-hmm. it's on the coast, it's a link style, but you're yeah. in the middle of the country.
Yeah, yeah, middle of the country, sort of parkland, golf club, sort of a lot of trees and sort of tight, fiddly golf courses around me. And then, of course, now a lot of the tournaments I play back home are all on the coast. So it's kind of a bit of a weird change. I grew up basically playing parkland golf clubs, not having to necessarily flight the ball low like you do on links, though. So that's sort of a skill I had to learn later on down the road, I guess.
Did your dad teach you the game or did you have some other instruction from a professional that come
yeah.
in and help you?
So my dad was very good at the sort of the mental side of the game. Like he was a sportsman himself. So he had that influence on it in terms of how to go into my practice and how to deal on the golf course with those sort of little challenges, you know, when it's not going your day. But from a technical standpoint, there was a local pro that I worked with for probably the first 5 or 6 years. And he was very much the old golf swing type of method, you know, like Lee Trevino, Jack Nicklaus. And that was what he loved. And everything about the way he coached was tempo. It was balance, not necessarily, you know, you've got to get the club in this position. This is the angle. This is the numbers, the data. It was on the driving range, on the grass, feelings. How can you be balanced? How's your grip? And that's sort of basically how I learned the fundamentals. And now, of course, now with the game developing, it's a lot more data driven, a lot more technical. But from the base of me learning to play, it was all feel. It was all trying to shape the ball. It was all sort of those little sort of old school techniques, I guess.
Do you feel like it was easier when it wasn't so much data driven, that it was more technical based on the feel that you had?
Yeah, yeah. And it's definitely something that sort of stuck with me, the way I try and play golf. I try and just essentially, the round of golf comes down to the score at the end of it. And it's how I'm going to get the round of the golf course just to try and shoot the best score I can. Less than I want to hit this many fairways. I want to hit it this proximity to the hole. I want to make this many putts from this distance. Of course, I'll use that sort of data analysis later on after the round. But when I'm actually playing, it is purely what can I do to make the best score I can on this hole. And whether it's shaping it, whether it's trying to sort of play weird shots every now and then, it's sort of, that's just sort of the way I play golf. It's much that as opposed to I have to hit it down the middle. I have to hit it to this point of the green, you know, sort of going off of the stats. It's much more sort of a feel base.
How much time do you practice those different shots, if you will, as opposed to, okay, I've got to hit it straight here. How much time do you put into Mark of shaping a shot, mm-hmm. working out of a tree or something, mm-hmm. you know, saying that, okay, I know there's a tree 25 yards in front of me. I got to cut it around it or I got to hook it around it.
I would say little portion, less, I'd say on the driving range, like as I've sort of trying to improve, I know to get to that next stage, I need to actually get better at those stock shots and being able to stand on a tee and have a go-to. But definitely with my short game is where I'm very sort of kind of fun with it. I can be around the chipping green for 4 or 5 hours and just hit different shots and mess around with it, you know, move the ball well back and try and slice it and move it well forward and try and hit it so high. But off the, sort of on the driving range now, it's much more trying to hit repetitive golf shots. And then maybe on the golf course as well, I'll sort of play around with trying to hit a few little weird things. You know, that's kind of what I try and do in my practice. It's all about repetition. And then when I get on the golf course, it's have fun with it and let the ball just do what it needs to do.
When did you start playing competitively?
Probably when I was about 16. I started playing sort of a couple more national tournaments in England. 16, 17. I got to a scratch handicap about that time as well. And that was sort of when I started playing a little bit more. But it was around age sort of 14. I basically said, I want to be a pro golfer. And that was kind of
14.
Yeah, it was about that point. I was sort of one of those kids that I always wanted to do something sporty
Well, I was going to say, I mean, you're 6 foot four, so you had to have played some other sports too growing up, right? Have you always been one of the bigger kids?
Yeah, I've always been pretty tall for like my age at school. That I just, anytime we played rugby, you know, the coach is always saying, no, Stockdale, you're coming here. You're playing rugby for us this semester. And then I played a lot of cricket growing up. Me and my brother both played cricket. So that was kind of the true love, I guess, until I realized, you know, it's probably not going to work out as a job and I've got a better chance playing golf.
I could see you as a keeper on a soccer team, though.
I was also a keeper on a soccer team.
My intuition.
Yeah. There you go.
Were you any good?
I was okay. I sort of had that hand-eye coordination from playing cricket that, and also the height helps when you're playing about under 13, under 14 football and the goal's a bit smaller.
It's a lot smaller, right? All right, what's your team?
I'm a Chelsea fan.
Okay.
So, yeah, doing okay.
Yeah. Everybody from England that I've ever talked to, they have a team, no matter what.
Yep. I couldn't tell you, like my granddad was a Chelsea fan, so from the day I was born, it was, you're a Chelsea fan. So that's just how it sticks.
How many Premier League events have you been to?
I've been to maybe three or four of my time, less so as much now. I mean, the Chelsea football ground's a little bit further away from home for me, so it's not always the easy to go to. But when I go back home this Christmas, I'll go to a lot of rugby games, big rugby fans. So,
oh, yeah. What's that like?
It's good fun. It's probably similar to American football here in England in terms of the following of it. You know, people are proud of their local rugby teams. And,
of course.
You know, yeah. Absolutely love it. So,
is your local rugby team good?
They are, yeah, they are. They won the premiership last year, so they're a good team.
Oh, awesome. Mm-hmm. What led you to the States? When did you decide, okay, I want to go to college in the United States of America?
Pretty late on, I would say. I mean, I was pretty much in my final year of high school, and my plan initially was to go to South Africa and turn pro and go try and Monday qualify for some Sunshine Tour events and then do Q school there. And there was a local pro who was sort of, he was playing like Alps Tour at the stage. And he said to me that he had the offer to go play Division II golf and he turned it down and he always sort of regretted it. And he said to me, you know, if you get the offer, take it. You know, if you don't like it, you can come home, you know, but you'll never know if you don't try. And that's when Austin got in touch and he basically recruited me to UCA. And I thought, you know, we'll give it a go. Got nothing to lose. Pro golf's one of those things that it's not a rush to get into. It's more when you're ready. And I thought, if I've got the opportunity to go get a degree, play college golf. And at that time, I didn't really know much about it, but see a few things. And I thought this would be a good little step for me and really throw myself into it.
And then Austin leaves UCA and comes to Little Rock and you decide to.
I ended up staying at UCA my freshman year, then went in the transfer portal and went up to the U of A last year and was a Razorback for a year. And, you know, that was a good learning experience for me. But then just sort of thought, this is, I had that really good connection with Austin from when he recruited me. And I think with the vision he had for me trying to play pro golf when he recruited me, I was sort of on that mindset of, I agree with that. And this is the place that I thought, you know, I was in that situation where I thought I wasn't playing so good up in Fayetteville. And I thought, you know, I'm not 100% sure if I see myself leaving here and making it in pro golf. But in my head, I'm thinking if I go to this place, I'm 100% going to make it. I'm going to leave super happy with the way I'm playing. I'm going to have so much support around me. I'm going to have everything I sort of wanted when I first came out to America, I knew was going to be here. And, you know, it's a small university here, but I kind of like being that underdog when it comes to tournaments we go to, when we go play against those big schools, those big SEC, big sort of, you know, Power Four schools that they look down on us at times, I guess, because their coach is definitely telling their players that they should never lose to us, whereas I think we should never lose to them.
What was it like this year in Cincinnati when you guys beat the Hogs by 6?
That was a very cool feeling. You know, that was special. I made it clear to the guys going into that event that this is what we're going to go do. We're going there to go beat them because I knew that this is probably our only opportunity playing against them. You know, it's very rare that we get to play in the same tournament against them. So I thought we need to make this one count.
What was it like for you personally, though, going up against your old team and seeing your old coaches and Brad McMakin?
It was good seeing them. I mean, like there's no hard feelings between any of them. They understood that it hadn't worked out for me there. I wasn't playing good for whatever rich reason, that it was sort of a mutual thing that they probably didn't see me being what they thought when they recruited me there. And so, you know, I was just going there to try and play the best golf I could and try and finish as high up as I could. And where that is where it was, I guess. But that was sort of my aim. I go to every tournament trying to win the tournament for what it is. Not necessarily putting more into one tournament than the next. It's always trying to focus on it and try and play as well as I can. But that tournament especially, there was definitely some manifestation going on. Soon as I, you know, got here and Coach Hove told me that they were going to play in that event, you know, that when I'm practicing and you have those bad days in my head, I'm thinking, like, this is the opportunity. You need to make sure that we're going to that tournament with the sort of the game that we need to go and compete.
Yeah, and you guys had a pretty good fall.
Yeah, it's been good. We've had a couple nice events. Of course, home event, we did what we needed to there, you know, go get a win there, which is always nice. But there's plenty to sort of improve on for us. It's, you know, that standard's always going to keep, we're always going to be one semester away in my head in terms of what we're pushing towards. Even if we, you know, make it to nationals and finish great there, that next semester coming back in the fall next year, it's going to be one step higher. So never sort of really satisfied with where we are.
You look at the golf courses that you've been able to play over here in the States mm-hmm. and practice on. You go up to Fayetteville, you've got the Blessings, mm-hmm. which is considered top three, top two in the state of Arkansas. Yeah. And then you come down to Little Rock and you've got arguably the top course in the yeah. state in the Aleutian Club. You mm-hmm. got Chenal, Pleasant Valley, Country Club of Little Rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Some really good places to try and work on your craft, don't you?
Yeah, no, we're really, really lucky here with everything we've got. I mean, each golf course is a different sort of skill and different test in its own due to either the grass or sort of tee shots in the green complexes. That for us, playing those rotation of country clubs over a week, you get to become a really all-round great player. It's sort of one of those that you don't end up, say you play a university golf course for 4 years. Great, you can probably play that golf course shooting 67 every single day. But when you maybe go play pro golf and you get stuck on a golf course, say you play down in the South and you go up to the Midwest and it's something completely different, can sort of throw you out of that comfort zone a bit. But for us, we play such a good rotation that everyone's getting molded into being this all-round pretty solid player. And that's sort of, I think, a big skill for trying to get ready for that next step of pro golf. It's, with a look at the schedules that the tours go on nowadays, it's not like you play Bermuda grass golf courses for 4 weeks in a row and then you have a week off and then you can go get adjusted. It's, you go from one place to the next and
they move around a little more.
Yeah, exactly. And you've got to have that ability to be able to change your game based on the week to the golf course that fits best.
Austin Oaf, you and him are basically about the same size. Mm-hmm. He's got a powerful swing. Mm-hmm. You've got a powerful swing. When y'all are out there working on your game and he's working with you, what mm-hmm. do you guys work on?
The main goal for us is trying to basically use sort of a bit of my power, I guess, to try and get the ball in play a little bit more. Like I'm very good on and around the greens, that it's all about trying to give myself those opportunities to make some putts. And when I'm hitting the ball good off the tee in the fairway a lot, I make a really, really good score from there. And that's kind of the main aim for the next semester, is to sort of tighten up a little bit of ball striking, get that ball proximity to the hole a little bit better, and just basically keep myself in play off the tee around every tournament, you know, sort of removing those penalty shots and wasted opportunities, I guess, and really taking advantage of the benefits of my game, the skills I'm good at, and just basically allowing my game to never hinder myself, I guess.
Mark, do you believe that the Little Rock Trojans have the best men's golf team in the state of Arkansas, collegiate golf team?
I do, yes. I think so. I don't think there's a team that's more connected than us and are more sort of aiming towards the same goal, I guess. You know, like, I think we've got six great guys here that are all trying to push each other to be better every day. And, you know, we're pretty hard on each other when it comes to, like, our practice, and we don't let anyone sort of skip what they need to be doing. We're all trying to play pro golf, and we understand that the easiest way to push ourselves is to push the people around us and basically lift everyone up at the same time. And I think with what Coach Oaf brings to the team is amazing in terms of, you know, he can be pretty hard on us at times, but then he's also got that ability to understand what each player needs. And, you know, it doesn't always need to be full throttle and trying to push guys. Instead, it's trying to see a problem and talk it through and understand how we're going to fix it. And it's never going to be what he thinks is what the method way we should try and fix it. Instead, it's going to be an open conversation. It's going to be trying to talk things through and figure out what's going to be the best route for each person to try and make it to pro golf.
And you guys have great camaraderie
mm-hmm. yeah.
amongst the team, right?
Yeah, yeah, unbelievable. I mean, we've got three English guys here on the team, very European-based, with only rep being the one American, but you know.
And he's an Arkansan.
He is, yeah. But, you know, we all get on really, really well together, and we all love golf. And that's sort of the main driver between us. We all like practicing. We all like working hard and trying to really push each other, which is, you know, that's a big, big helpful point of this team.
When you watch golf, who do you like to watch?
I like watching the guys that do the simple things very well. You know, like, I think Justin Rose is a guy that he makes it look very easy in terms of his ball striking. And essentially when he putts good, he's going to play good. And he's sort of one of those that his game looks like it's never really going to change. It's never really going to start to falter, I guess. You know, he's been on tour for however many years. He's won so many different tournaments, which I think is a big accolade in terms of, you know, he's won a gold medal. He's won a major championship. He's won numerous Ryder Cups. And that comes down to his overall golf game being super solid and not really ever having to change anything. You know, his ball striking is never going to drop in terms of quality. He's always going to find a way to put himself in play, get him on the green, and then try and hole some putts.
Watching the Ryder Cup this year from the television, did the crowds in New York go too far?
I don't think so. I mean, I think everyone knows what they're signing up for when they play the Ryder Cup, and Rory would be lying if some of those chants and some of the little comments don't push him, you know, in that right direction. And it's one of those that I think everyone has the opportunity to take some of that energy and turn it into something. And I think Europe turned all that hate and that negativity and made it a helpful thing for them in terms of it got them all a little bit pumped up. I think when it came to the Sunday singles, they were all pretty shattered and pretty knackered from like just the mental endurance of what they were going on. I think that's why Sunday they started to look a little bit tired and a little
bit weak. Did you ever get nervous thinking they might lose it?
There was a few little moments. We weren't really following. I guess we were in South Carolina at the time, but I remember looking later on and thinking, you know, there was a good 45 minutes to an hour that this could have gone any which way. But you know, you have faith in those guys that they do it every day for a living. So
Mark, you've said several times already that you want to be a professional golfer. Mm-hmm. The plan is to turn pro when you're done with your college career.
Yeah.
If you're fortunate enough to turn pro, make it, get on a Ryder Cup team, mm-hmm. play for Team Europe, would that be the icing on the cake?
Yeah, I think so. Like my main aim with pro golf is a bit different to other guys. My actual main aim is to go to Olympic Games for Team GB. Because in my head, the way it works is if I was to be a top two player for GB, go to Olympic Games, I basically tick every other box. I would probably be in a Ryder Cup team. I would be playing in all four majors every year. I would have the opportunity to either play in Europe or out here in the States. And essentially, if I can achieve that, I would tick every single box along the list, really. So that's kind of my main aim.
Do you think you can achieve that?
100%. There's no sort of doubt in my mind that that's not an achievable goal. It's just a case of me, you know, thinking things through and making smart decisions and just basically working really hard towards that goal.
Another goal that the team has this year is to get to the NCAA tournament and get out to La Costa in California to the championships. Mm-hmm. Is that a realistic goal this year for this team?
100%. I think we've shown this semester that we have a lot of talent and we have the ability to make a lot of birdies and shoot really low scores. I feel like sometimes we can shoot ourselves in the foot in terms of just the simple little mistakes, whether it's course management, where it's just, you know, losing that little bit of focus at times, which I think they are the hardest but the simplest things to try and fix. That I think we have great potential going into next year, and we've still got a very young team. You know, we've got two guys that haven't really played college golf, that they're still learning, and that you could see through the progression this semester that they kept learning from every tournament and everything started to piece together. That I think come May next year, they're going to be really all round solid and know what they need to do and know how to prepare for a college event.
That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it be?
Would be very,
you guys
very cool.
Make it all the way out there.
Yeah, would be very, very cool.
The program has done it one time. I mean, if you guys are able to do that, that'd be pretty awesome. Best golf course you've ever played?
Oh, hey, it's a real tough one. I will be honest, it's between Elotion and the links down in South Africa at Fancourt. You know, I lived in South Africa for about 4 months, and that
only
golf course.
4 months?
Yeah. I went for like October through to February and then came back and played summer tournaments.
Yeah.
It was like after finishing high school before going to America. It was a good little winter break because, of course, the winter in England's pretty useless for golf.
Yeah. Nice and warm in South Africa.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was lucky enough to play there. And that golf course is pretty special in terms of overall, you know, condition and experience. And Aleutian's the only thing that I've seen challenge at.
Okay. Okay.
It's a good toss up between the two.
Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three others that you would like to play a round of golf with, who would they be?
I'd go my dad, my brother, myself, and then I think I've got to go Tiger. I would love the opportunity to have 4.5 hours of watching him play and actually asking him before he hits every shot, what's he thinking? What picture are you trying to sort of paint in terms of the way you execute your golf? Because I think he was the first person to make that jump into what modern day golf is now. I think, you know, you look at what Scotty's doing. Every guy on tour has the ability to do what Scotty did, but no one can do what Tiger was doing at that time. So I would like to see what he thinks and how he goes about his business, basically.
How he executes it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, anybody, Mark, can say, okay, here's what I want to do with this shot. Mm-hmm. But there are very few that can pull it off time after time after time.
Exactly.
And he's one of the ones that can, right?
Exactly that, yeah. Exactly.
How difficult is that? For those that are listening that might be getting ready to pick up this game,
mm-hmm.
how good is it and why should they pick up the game?
It's addictive. Like a golf is, it's a form of drug pretty much because it's one of those sports that you're never going to have a perfect day. You're always going to be able to improve that. For me, I got addicted to the pursuit of trying to improve, you know, and I don't think that'll ever end. I don't think I'll ever win enough golf tournaments and play enough rounds of golf that I think I've ever completed golf. I'm always going to want to try and improve what I'm doing. And that's kind of why it's so amazing is the things you learn about yourself through playing golf is unbelievable. The way you can deal with bad rounds, bad shots, you know, just all-round difficulty is unmatched, I think.
That's awesome. Mark, best of luck this spring.
Thank you very much.
Maybe the Trojans make it out to California. Wouldn't that be something?
We will. Don't you worry.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
From Central Arkansas to South Arkansas to Northeast Arkansas, across the state to Northwest Arkansas, you will find a Beechwood Hospitality property. From the Haywood in El Dorado to the Hilton Garden in Jonesboro to the Doubletree in Bentonville and the Staybridge Suites just south of Baumwalker Stadium, Beechwood Hospitality has a room for you. Beechwood Hospitality is the leader in hotel property management in the state. Make sure you find a Beechwood Hospitality hotel for your next overnight stay.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success. Not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
I'm Dr. Lowry Barnes. When it comes to orthopedic care, there's no place like the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. We built this hospital just for you. With state-of-the-art surgical suites, advanced technology, and the state's largest group of fellowship-trained orthopedic surgeons, it's the best place in Arkansas to get you moving again. And if you need urgent orthopedic care, UAMS Ortho Now is right here for you at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health, where motion lives and service leads.
That's about all of the time for this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I want to thank Matthew Allen and Blair Allen, Beechwood Hospitality. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you're staying at a Beechwood Hospitality hotel. They always pay strict attention to every detail, and you will see it when you walk into a Beechwood Hospitality hotel. Matthew Allen and Blair Allen. They know how to manage hotel properties. Beechwood Hospitality. Thank you to our loyal listeners of From the Shortgrass. If this is your first time listening, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts, not only on terrestrial radio, 106.7 Buzz 2 and 103.7 The Buzz, but anywhere you get your podcast, and even on YouTube. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You have been listening to From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.